from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
So we're in the depths of January 2020 and it's about time we hit you up with some research. And Nigel has recommended a Will Tullheimer piece of research entitled Factors That Support Training Transfer, A Brief Synopsis of the Transfer Research. So, Nigel, tell us, why are we discussing this today?
Why indeed? Three reasons, Martin. The first one is that the report was sponsored by Emma Weber, and that is her thing, transfer learning. And the fact that as a practitioner, she's dug deep into her pockets to fund some research and made that research public without charging £1,000 a report, making it freely available. I think big shout out to Emma for doing that. The second thing is that this is a pretty fundamental topic. Does the learning that you supply and the programs that you run actually move from classroom or computer screen to the reality of the job at work? So the transfer of learning is an incredibly important topic. And I suppose thirdly, I just think any evidence that you can bring to bear is good practice. And Will is very good at bringing evidence to bear. Having said all those things, the overwhelming message is that there's not much of a research base. There isn't much. Something so important that you would think is central. When you look at the research, there's hardly anything. So, you know, he quotes from a meta-analysis. Put simply, the evidence in support of transfer interventions was not as compelling as either our intuition or prior transfer commentaries would suggest. In other words, there's nothing much out there. So I think that is quite a damning indictment and a worry that something so fundamental, you make the commitment, let's go for the research, let's see what the research is telling us. It's not telling us a huge amount, apart from we need more research. There are some recommendations. There are some bits of good practice, which Will shares. But overall, it's a little thin on the ground. And that's not Emma's fault. That's not Will's fault. It's that our domain seems to not be incredibly willing to put their hand in their pocket and get more of this stuff out there. So it highlights for me the need to bang on about the evidence. And when the evidence isn't quite there, to bang on about bringing more evidence to bear. What about you, Martin? What do you think?
I agree with you. My takeaway wasn't about what the research says. It was about the fact that there is not enough research and the research isn't good enough. And that raises quite a lot of questions about evidence-based practice in corporate learning, because I think when you've got someone who's actually dug a lot deeper into a domain and he comes back and says, actually, this is a bit flimsy at best, I think that's a red flag for the sector. But I think it's important to acknowledge that and to understand where the evidence is and how good it is. And that leads on to, for me, another question around how academic research is being extracted and used and applied by practitioners. This is, and how that happens is not something that is specific to corporate learning. It's pretty much across the board. It's a real challenge. There's tons of research being done all the time around the world, but who gets sight of it and how it turns into practice is at the moment a bit of a mystery. Science tends to lead the way. So you'll hear science communications far more regularly than you will other forms of academic research. So science stories tend to hit the news. But, you know, Will talks about research translators, and he name checks a few people in this domain who are attempting to look at the research and translate it into insights for practice. But there aren't that many of them.
No.
And, you know, so that was a big takeaway. I mean, the other thing for me was the caveat that this is about programs. It's not about resources. It's more about courses. It's about
formal courses. Yeah, it's a very traditional research base. And a lot of it is school-based as well as workplace-based. But you're right. Yeah, it's about what formal learning courses, often classroom-based, offer in the way of learning transfer. Yeah. And the direction that L&D is taking is a long way away from that. But nevertheless, let's sum up. I think there are some the factors that he isolates are good ones and people should read them. And I think that people should be testing, checking, having some decent evaluation and impact measurement built in. That's the kind of thing I took away from it. You know, don't be complacent. Get the work done and be like Emma, put your hand in your pocket when necessary to get the research and to build the evidence base.
Yeah, I would say, you know, thanks, Nigel, for highlighting it, because I think it is really important. A lot of L&D is program-based, so you would need to understand this stuff. And also, Will does great work, and he mentions quite a few people in the report who are also doing similar work. And I would say just make sure you follow them and be aware of the work they're doing and what they're publishing, because they are doing their best to turn what evidence there is into insight, which can hopefully be applied to practice. So thanks very much.
Thanks very much. It's a good message. And he kind of turns the screw on people in L&D, I think. If anyone in L&D is ignoring him, not reading his stuff, not taking the message home, there's a big issue there, I think. You know, Will is banging the drum, and I think everyone should be dancing to his tune. So thank you, Will. Thanks for doing what you do. Keep doing it. That's our message. Fair enough?
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Excellent.
Okay, Martin. Thank you very much.
Thank you. From scratch.